The story I'm about to tell makes more sense if you can see the slide, so there we go. There was a time when the angels gathered around the heavenly throne of God for a discussion. Things were in a mess on earth. The Creator had become terribly concerned about the state of the creation. Wars, fighting, famine, bloodshed all over. "I've tried everything," God complained. "I've spoken some of the most beautiful words people could ever hope to hear. Glorious psalms, hymns, and poetry. My people love to hear about peace and goodwill. But then they turn around and they don't live it." Many of the angels, Gabriel, Michael, and others, had visited Earth. They had seen for themselves the sources of God's lament, and they shared God's concern. "I think the only thing left is for one of you to go down to Earth. Live with them, not just for a moment, but every day. Get to know them, become one of them. Live with them. Let them get to know you. Only then will heaven be truly communicated to them. Only then will they take notice of that great gap between the way they've been living and the way they were created to live. Only then will we be able to reveal to them who I created them to be." The angels stood around in awkward silence. They'd been to Earth before, either to deliver God's messages or to bring about some intervention in human affairs. They weren't about to volunteer for a long-term duty in such a difficult place. The silence seemed to last for an eternity. Finally, God broke the silence. "Right then," said God, "I'll go." And that, my friends, is what Christmas is all about. God came to Earth. God made a home with us, coming to us as we really are. God came in the person of Jesus to live as one of us. God gifted us with a presence who personified peace, joy, hope, and love. And yet, we know the story doesn't end well. Christmas cards are usually sentimental. Even TV shows like to suggest that Christmas is going to evoke the best in everyone. Christmas can almost become an escapist fantasy. For one day of the year, we like to believe that everyone can become miraculously transformed like Scrooge or the Grinch. We prefer these nice, warm images over Jesus, especially the adult one. You know, that person who identified the gap between God's ideal and reality. We prefer to focus on baby Jesus. He's much easier. Santa Claus and the Easter Bunny, they're all cute. We don't have to wrestle with them. So today we turn in our Gospels, and we're invited to remember the very human part of the Christmas story. Even from the beginning of Jesus' story, the manger scene of Christ's birth was surrounded by Herod's kingdom. According to the evangelist Matthew, when Herod heard about the coming of a new king, his first act was to order the killing of all boy babies under the age of 2. In our modern world, we might ask, what was so threatening about a baby that called forth such a violent response? I would argue that Herod's reaction to the coming of Jesus is the right one. His power was something to fear. It is actually we good church folks who've tried to tame Jesus. Think for a second about the reforming personalities in modern history, like Martin Luther King Jr., Mahatma Gandhi, Mother Teresa, Nelson Mandela, and many others. If we're honest, it's all about power. Who has it? Who wants it? And who feels threatened? If God has come in flesh to the world, we need to know that things are going to get violent, because there will be a clash of powers. Matthew goes very quickly from the cute nativity to Joseph, Mary, and Jesus becoming political refugees in Egypt. Now, we need to know that Matthew is being very deliberate in defining the early years of Jesus because he's plotting a course for us. He's hoping to remind us and the first listeners that this isn't the first time God has interceded for the people of Israel. Like, while Luke focuses on Mary, Matthew focuses on Joseph. And I want you to think back to your Sunday school days, because this is not the first time a man named Joseph has taken his family to Egypt to avoid death. You see, Egypt had and still has a central defining place in Jewish self-understanding. Egypt evokes images of slavery, oppression, captivity, and displacement. Coming out of Egypt was, to the Jewish mind, the birth of their nation, the great liberation, the defining event of God's decisive action for God's chosen people, leading them to a new hope, a new future, a new promised land. And who delivered Israel from Egypt? Moses. Moses was the paramount, even more revered than Abraham or King David. Moses delivered his people from slavery in Egypt. He spoke with God face to face, and he was the one who gave them the law that shaped their living. There we go. Matthew deliberately emphasizes the parallels between Jesus and Moses. So Moses was born at a time when Pharaoh feared the birth of a Hebrew male baby, and Herod too feared the birth of the Messiah. Both of these men ordered the killing of all the baby boys. Moses escaped the slaughter because the midwives resist. Jesus escapes the slaughter because the wise men resist. Both Moses escaped from Egypt and Jesus escapes to Egypt. Moses returns to Egypt to save Israel from Egypt. Jesus returns to Israel to save all people from sin. But Matthew wants his readers to notice that, yes, Jesus has a similar story to the greatest person in Israel's history. Matthew's stating very clearly, look at this guy. Look at this Jesus. It's kind of like when we read a book and it starts once upon a time. In our brains, we know, oh, listen, there's a story coming. And so what Matthew's trying to do is, you see all these parallels? This guy's going to be really important. And not only is he going to be equal to Moses, he's going to be greater. In him, God is once more stepping into human history for the salvation of God's people. Moses brings the laws, but Jesus goes one step further and fulfills the law. And while the law dealt with external behavior, Jesus is going to go one step deeper and ask us to dig deeper into our hearts, to go beyond the law. So while today's gospel reading is not a feel-good story, Matthew is preparing his readers for a huge proclamation. And that proclamation is that God is acting in human history again. God has seen the injustice and heard the cries of suffering and has anointed a liberator to cast off the yoke of oppression and lead them to freedom. Matthew, in his own way, is yelling from the rooftops, get ready! Get ready! Lift your sights even higher than Moses. And get ready to delve deeper into the mystery, the holy mystery of God. There we go. But while God is doing this amazing thing, right from the beginning of Jesus' life, we're reminded that the powers and the principalities of this world are not going to release captives from bondage easily or without a fight. And the truth is, God does not impose God's power on the world, but instead invites the world into true power, the power to recognize suffering as the place in which we might become fully real and fully human. Out of sufferings have emerged the strongest souls, the most massive characters are seared with scars. Suffering, though, is never God's will. But to engage with suffering is to love and thus to know without a doubt, without flinching, that we are loved. Joy and love do exist, but they exist in the context of pain and struggle. Each of us know this. Each of us live this. And that's why in churches the manger always stands in the shadow of the cross. I think Madeleine L'Engle summed it up best in her writing The First Coming, when she writes that he did not wait till the world was ready, till men and nations were at peace. He came when the heavens were unsteady and prisoners cried out for release. He did not wait for the perfect time. He came when the need was deep and great. He dined with sinners in all their grime, turned water into wine. He did not wait till hearts were pure in joy. He came to a tarnished world of sin and doubt, to a world like ours of anguished shame. He came, and his light would not go out. He came to a world which did not mesh, to heal its tangles, shield its scorn. In the mystery of the Word made flesh, the Maker of the stars was born. We cannot wait till the world is sane to raise our songs with joyful voice, for to share our grief, to touch our pain, he came with love. Rejoice, rejoice. As we exit one year and move to the next, may we remember the good news that God is with us. God continues to come back to be with us, to remind us that we're not alone. Let our thanks be.